Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. CMF Curo is the country's first Catholic health share ministry to provide an affordable health sharing program rooted in Catholic teaching and community. Learn more at mycatholichealthshare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Well, this is Stewardship Sunday, a special Sunday for us, made extra special this year because we are also commemorating our 50th anniversary. This parish was launched in 1968, and it was launched with a simple pulpit announcement. One Sunday, 50 years ago, our founding pastor appeared in the pulpit of St. Joseph's Church in Cockeysville and made the following announcement, quote, "If you live south of Timonium Road, you belong to a new church. Report to Ridgely Road Middle School next Sunday." And guess what? They did. Imagine making that announcement today. In 1968, you could still assume the majority of Catholics in North Baltimore, like everywhere else, went to church most Sundays. And in 1968, you could also assume they would go where they were told to go. Obviously, those days are long gone, along with so much else from 1968, right? There's so much we could say about 1968 that is no longer true. Think about it. In 1968, if you wanted to take a photograph, you used your camera, your Kodak camera. In 1968, if you went shopping for a bargain, you went to Woolworth's Five and Dime. And if you wanted something special, you went to Hutzler's department store. In 1968, if you were going to book a flight, which you probably weren't because nobody flew, but if you did, you went with Pan Am or TWA. In 1968, everybody's favorite TV shows were, want to take a guess? The Beverly Hillbillies and The Flying Nun. Only distant memories for some people and curiosities for others. In 1968, who could have imagined the invention of the PC or social media or even the internet itself? In 1968, Apple was a fruit. Amazon was a river. And while the parish started in an entirely old school way with that crazy pulpit announcement, actually, it was quite innovative for its time. The parish began shortly after the end of the Second Vatican Council. Vatican II was a church-wide gathering of bishops, which sought to overturn the attitude that the church would be a fortress against the world, and instead sought to engage the church in the modern world. Vatican II was about engagement and renewal. Our founder, Cardinal Lawrence Sheehan, and the founding pastor, Father Charlie Meisel, and all the people who helped found this parish along with them, intended it to be a different kind of parish. Vatican II had in mind a model of doing church differently. And the parish sure looked different right from the start. For one thing, it had bathrooms. Back in the day, churches didn't have bathrooms. Nativity had bathrooms. It had a parking lot. Most churches in 1968 didn't have any parking. It had multi-purpose spaces, brand new concept in 1968. It had accessibility for disabled individuals. Nobody thought about that in 1968. It had a sound system. Because the service was no longer in Latin, it was in English, and people needed to hear it. It was all new in 1968. On the other hand, it didn't have a school. There was no convent or traditional rectory. It didn't even have statues. And as we all know, there were no kneelers. Obviously, the people who founded this place intended to do things differently. But more importantly, it offered programs and services that actively engaged the parishioners and were relevant in the community, just as Vatican II had hoped. And while this original vision slumbered for a while, and it's true some of the original members ironically resisted later efforts to reinvigorate the original vision, in recent years it has been boldly reawakened, renewed, and rebuilt, as is given testimony by this beautiful new church. Bottom line, Nativity is an experiment. It's always been an experiment, cutting edge of what it means to be a Catholic parish that's authentically Catholic and healthy and growing, fruitful in our mission to reach the modern world.
An openness to experiment is needed now more than ever. We see that the systems and structures that once promoted church attendance and involvement were already falling apart even before the current crisis. And the crisis will certainly accelerate those patterns. And while that can be scary, it does not have to be. Throughout history, there have been times when the old order fell away and a new one was ushered in. In fact, that is what Jesus came to do and predicted would happen. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus warns the disciples, "In those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Jesus speaks of cataclysmic events. His words are meant to be taken more metaphorically than literally. Jesus points to a time which will bring about the end of an era and launch the beginning of a new one. His words actually speak to three different events. One of those events is the end of the world as we know it, and that will usher in a completion of God's kingdom. The other two events were much more proximate. He was speaking about his own death. And the Gospels tell us that when Jesus died, the sun was darkened. The third event was the destruction of the Jewish temple. For the Jewish people, the temple was a microcosm of the whole universe. Images of stars and constellations were embroidered on the temple veils. The seven lights of the menorah represented the sun, the moon, and the five planets known to humanity at that time. Jewish people considered the temple to be the center of the universe. It was the meeting place between heaven and earth. And despite the fact that the first temple had already been destroyed once, it was unthinkable that it could be destroyed again. God surely would protect it. At least, that's how the thinking went. But Jesus is warning his disciples that the era of the temple was coming to an end, and a new era was going to be launched. His death would mean the end of the era of temple worship and the beginning of a new kind of worship. The new meeting place between heaven and earth is no longer a building, but the body of Christ. You see, God uses systems, and God uses structures, and God uses strategies, but they are ever-changing. They are not the main thing. The main thing is Christ and the mission he gave his followers to go and make disciples. Jesus concludes, he says this, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Jesus gives direction to his disciples, his followers. The world passes away. Things fall apart in this world. The human systems and structures of one generation do not make it to the next. And what supported faith 50 years ago is no longer around. People went to church out of piety for sure, but also out of obligation or fear. People went to church because it was expected of you to be a good person or to be a good American. That is no longer the case. The good news is we don't base our faith on systems and structures, but on the unchanging Word of God, on Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
The world has changed a lot over the last 50 years, that's for sure, more than any other 50-year period in human history. Who knows what it'll look like 50 years from now? Who knows what it'll look like next year? Who knows what the larger church will look like in the wake of the current crisis? But it doesn't change the fact that Christ alone is our cornerstone. His mission to make disciples is our mission, our unchanging mission, even as we creatively discover new ways to do that effectively in the modern world. In the year ahead, we want to continue to grow in lots of ways, but specifically three ways. The first is by filling the church. You know, we built this beautiful new building because we wanted to create empty seats at optimal times. Remember us talking about that? We repeated that phrase over and over again. Empty seats at optimal times. Well, be careful what you wish for, because now we have empty seats at optimal times. Not all the time, not right now, obviously, but sometimes we have room to grow, and soon we will have even more empty seats because we're so pleased to announce today that in the coming year, we will undertake the completion of our balcony with a grand opening on Easter Sunday of 2019. How great is that? And greater still, like the whole of this building project, we will open the balcony debt-free. It will be completely paid for on the day that it's opened. We're doing it as a deliberate statement, a deliberately bold statement amidst the chaos of everything else that's going on in the larger church. We're growing. We're adding seats, 500 seats this Easter Sunday. But we've still got to fill them, and we need your help doing that, and we rely upon your help in so many ways, especially investing and inviting in your unchurched friends, but also through your giving. Your giving makes it possible for greater investment in our volunteer ministers, without whom we could do none of this, in all of our resources in technology, and in our amazing staff that we have to keep investing in so that we can welcome even more unchurched people who can grow with us as disciples.
A second major goal is expanding and improving our online campus. We have a funny feeling this thing called the internet isn't going away anytime soon. And everyone we're trying to reach for Christ is already online. We have the best Catholic online experience out there, bar none. And so the time is right for us to maximize this incredible tool. We have some exciting things in mind for the online campus, and your investment will help make them happen. Third, we're going to keep investing in other parishes so that places like Nativity become the norm instead of the exception. We can multiply our impact and work on the rebuilding of the church from the ground up. Your giving to the parishes will support these goals and others. Of course, it will also allow us to continue all our current efforts to grow and improve our children's programs, our student programs, serving children with special needs, our adult small groups, and our mission and outreach in Baltimore City, Haiti, Nigeria, Kenya, and so much more.
These will be our goals for the coming year, and we invite your support, specifically by filling out one of these commitment cards in the time ahead that we'll offer you. Making giving to this local church, a priority in your budget. And the very best way to make it a priority in your budget is by giving automatically or electronically. We make automatic what's most important to us. And automatic giving is the way I give to the parish. It's the way Tom gives to the parish. And we invite you to join us in this kind of giving. Make giving to this local church a priority through electronic giving. Second, pick a percentage of your income to give away. Scripture, as you know, encourages the tithe, or 10%, in our gifts to the poor and to our place of worship as an act of worship. That can sound overwhelming or out of reach, but it needn't be. It's not initially the 10 part that's the important part, it's the percentage part. Pick a percentage, any percentage, and start there. Become a percentage giver, and then, over time, commit to progress in your giving. Since giving moves our hearts closer in God's direction, we want to progress or grow in our giving. And as each of us grows in our giving, this local church grows too.
In 1968, the Archdiocese of Baltimore established a new kind of parish in northern Baltimore County. From the very beginning, Church of the Nativity was intended to be distinctly different in architecture, design, and strategy. Nativity's story is not a fairy tale, however. Following God's path often means navigating different twists, turns, and tests of faith. Our story is filled with challenges and setbacks, but through it all, God has remained faithful, and the Lord has worked in extraordinary ways through our parish. 50 years ago, little did anyone know or even have the ability to see how this little church in the woods could and would grow to change and influence people in Timonium and beyond.
It was a ministry weekend, and they were talking about the different ways to get involved, and Ryan said that he was interested in creative tech. And since Ryan can't drive himself, I said, well, if you're gonna do it, then it just makes sense for me to do it as well. And so we signed up and we went through the orientation and the training, and we found that the team that does creative tech has been so helpful in us learning a new skill.
It's just like any sports team, you just all work together. You just feel like family. Like, I almost feel like I can call them my second family and stuff, just like how I can almost call this church my second home. And like, I might be the youngest person on the team, but they treat me like everyone else.
So Ryan had a new experience where he was invited up to the booth to do graphics. Something he had never done before. He had done some shadowing, and then he had a chance to do graphics. And as I sat during Mass, and I watched as the different graphics would come up on time and in the right order, it just was such, it's just that gratitude washed over me. I just felt so blessed and so kind of cared for by God that Ryan had found something so valuable and so important to him that he wanted to learn and he wanted to try new things, and it's here in our church community. And it's really a day I won't forget. I just won't soon forget that, and especially because raising teenagers is hard. It is not easy. And when there's moments like this, that's what carries you through the hard moments, is when you know your child can look forward to something and be part of something bigger than them and just learn some great skills along the way.
Hearing stories about teenagers and families engaged with Christ and His church are why we exist. However, our impact has extended beyond 21093. Nativity Missions has been serving others locally and globally for years, and just one of our strategic partners is the 410 Bridge.
The thing we love about partnering with Nativity is we partner with a lot of churches in North America, but Nativity is unique for two reasons. One, Nativity is an incredibly generous church. But more than just the generosity that comes from the people in Nativity and the leadership in Nativity, is really they have adopted our model of how we engage the poor in Kenya and in Haiti. The impact that Nativity has made through child sponsorship, through the water programs, through the other education and economic development programs that we've undertaken, has made a tremendous impact. Nativity currently sponsors over 300 children in two communities, one in Kenya called Q and one in Haiti called Monarch. Oftentimes, schools don't have enough teachers. So with sponsorship funds, we hire teachers and we train teachers. We provide textbooks. We provide a feeding program where children stay in school for the entire day and they don't leave to go home for lunch, where they don't find anything to eat and then they don't come back to school. A feeding program keeps them in school. We have a Discovery Kids program that teaches biblical virtues every week through the local churches in these schools. So the children are hearing about biblical virtues that ultimately help them not only be a better human being, but to be a better student, a better child at home. We are so grateful for your partnership with the 410 Bridge. Beyond even just that gratitude, we're amazed at what God is doing in these communities with your help to ultimately work ourselves out of a job in these communities and get them to a place where they can stand on their own and they won't look to outsiders for their help. And it wouldn't be possible without churches like Nativity.
Nativity's influence beyond our community is not limited to missions. Through the Rebuilt Parish Association, Nativity is helping hundreds of other churches grow and strengthen. We are helping the larger church rebuild, one local church at a time.
What inspired me most about Rebuilt is this idea that as a church, we've been focused on kind of a different direction that wasn't really what the direction that Jesus gave his church. This idea of making disciples and focusing on the lost. That was not ever part of my experience. I grew up going to church my whole life, and that was never really a part of it. And in reading Rebuilt, I feel like I just had this change of heart, and I realized that the lost was such a huge part of Jesus's mission and ministry here on earth. And of course, that's a huge part of what our churches should be about. This fall, we started having some conversations with people about trying to come up with a vision for hospitality specifically. And the vision that we came up with was that we want everyone who comes to our church to feel welcomed and loved by us and by God from the moment they arrive to the moment they leave. I have this conviction that I feel like I can't shake, that what's happening at Nativity and through Rebuilt and what we're starting to experience here at New Roads isn't just some idea, it's not just some new way to do church. It's a conviction I have that it's really a God thing, that the Holy Spirit is really working through Nativity and through the work that we're doing here and lots of other churches that are really trying to focus on reaching people for Christ.
The past 50 years have brought forth countless stories of God changing people's lives. And God has given this parish a new path, a new way forward for the unchurched to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The future may be unclear, especially when it comes to the current culture of crisis in the larger Catholic Church. We might not know exactly what the next 50 years will hold, but we do know this. Our job is to steward our blessings so we can continue to bring blessing to others.
The future of the church will not be shaped by councils in Rome or commissions of cardinals or even prosecutors here in the United States. Rebuilding the church starts at 20 East Ridgely Road. We're going to go right on doing what we do. Love God, love others, make disciples, and help other churches to do the same with Christ as our leader and guide, with Christ as our shepherd and pastor, with Christ and Christ alone as our cornerstone. That's the church that I'm belonging to. That's the church that I'm sticking with, the Church of Christ in Timonium, Maryland.
What a great video, what great testimonies and a message for our Stewardship Sunday here today. Right behind me in our main sanctuary, we're taking a moment right now to give the members of our community an opportunity to respond to that message by filling out their stewardship commitment cards, and we wanted to give you an opportunity to do the same right now. So right now, head over to churchnativity.com/stewardship, churchnativity.com/stewardship. I'm sure our chat hosts we'll be providing that link to you because, you know, hey, if you tune in here once a month, every week or so, maybe you are a regular and you watch here each and every week, you are a part of our community. And as you heard today in the message, our online campus is a strategic goal in the year ahead. We're trying to reach more and more people with this platform. We're trying to create more and more ways to have you engaged in faith through our community, through the online campus. And of course, it's your stewardship and people like you, your support that makes all this possible. So thanks for your commitment. Go to that link now, churchnativity.com/stewardship, to make your commitment in the year ahead. Thanks to those of you who give. For right now, we're going to sync back up, though, with church as we continue with Mass and with our offering.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford, Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusofLexington.com.